Support for today's podcast comes from the asset protection law firm Laudmel & Laudmel. Visit them at LODMELL.com.
Hello, Doctor. This is Paul Edwards, and I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm joined by Kurt Tuller, who is one of our Solution Center experts. Say hi, Kurt.
Hey, Doctor. How are you?
So, Doc, we're going to talk to you about dental benefits, and we're going to also discuss how to avoid insurance fraud. So we want to begin this by creating a valuable benefit for your employees. And Kurt works in the Solution Center. He's one of our experts. That means he's got a really good legal mind, and he's also a problem solver. So we couple those two things together. And if you want to know how that works, call your attorney and ask them the difference between, if you're a dental office, ask them the difference between a dental hygienist and a dental assistant and see what kind of answer you get out of them. If you're in any kind of medical practice, ask those specific questions, and you'll find out the difference between an expert who has that legal mind, who can also solve problems in your office, and your regular run-of-the-mill expert. So now that I've extolled the values of our Solution Center, let's get down to dental benefits. Kurt, let's talk about creating a valuable benefit. How would you describe a valuable benefit?
Well, one of the phrases I like to use when I'm talking to doctors about this, and this is a common discussion because most doctors want to know what everybody else does so they can frame theirs, is I say, I want you to pay with a coin that's valuable to the employee. And what I mean by that is look at how your employees want to use their benefits. Is it very important that their children get to use it? Or is your office a very young office where there aren't too many children of employees yet? Do they have spouses that want to be involved? What kind of work are they getting done? Is it mainly preventive? Is it restorative? In the case of a medical office, really just how are they going to use the benefit is the first criteria that I look at. And then after I have that, we talk about how can we integrate it best in the office itself.
Okay, so in a cosmetic surgery practice, you may have some surgery going on, employees actually become patients, and there's a benefit for working there. In a dental office, obviously, there's dentistry. I think a lot in dental practices, we see a lot of desire to get family members and kids and people involved.
And I think that's in part because it's a very sort of public work, right? Like you come into a dental office, you want to see people's teeth looking good because you don't want to go to the dentist who has employees who have bad looking teeth.
Right.
But that applies for all medical offices. So one of the things that's really important is making sure that when the doctor, and of course that you want to help your employees, you want to make sure that that doesn't interfere with patient treatment time and the scheduling that goes into having as many patients as you can. So you need to figure out a way that you can treat the employees, but it doesn't interfere with your schedule.
So can you give me some examples, some of the things you see?
Sure. Some of the ways that we do is periodic staff treatment days, well, maybe once a quarter or once every 6 months. There'll be one or two days that are just, you know, chock full beginning to end.
Mostly treatment. Family.
Mostly family,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And then another way that I've seen it done is a 24-hour or less window. And so what that means is you have a cancellation, you've got 24 hours to schedule somebody.
Right. So you come in and you have two or three cancellations, you might get your kid out of school a little early to get him in and get that thing done because we have an opening in the chair.
Exactly. Or even the employee themselves could clock out, jump in the chair,
if
get
it's
their stuff
them.
Done. Yeah.
Okay. Kurt, are there any other options?
Yeah, if you don't want to provide a more traditional employee benefit, we've seen some employers go in and essentially provide dental insurance or provide medical insurance to their employees and then utilize it once they come in. And this creates some really interesting setups where you're getting paid for the work that you're doing for your employees. Now you're paying out obviously some to pay for the benefit, but then you're getting it back in. So it requires a little bit of math. How much is it going to cost me to provide the insurance? How much am I going to get back? One of the things that's really valuable about this, and I think why it's become so popular, is that then the doctor doesn't have to worry about patient scheduling. The employee as a patient, the outside patient, they're the same. They're still bringing in money. So there doesn't have to be a lot of rules or blackout dates around when they can and can't receive treatment.
That sounds like a pretty good option. Again, it's a math problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a math problem. You're going to weigh the benefits and the costs.
And all of this is really about compensation, and you want to look at it like any other compensation. How much am I giving out, and how valuable is it to my employee?
I love that idea.
One of the other things that I want to talk about also is how to really look at the cost that it costs you. So one is the opportunity cost of losing patient treatment time, but the other is what is it actually costing you? Now, obviously, your time is valuable, doctor, but there are some hard costs in there too. And most offices are going to exempt those hard costs from their dental benefits. So even if they give free treatment, that treatment won't include things like lab fees or if there's some sort of unusual materials fee
added cost.
Yeah, yeah, anything that's hard that you're actually paying out to do the treatment, you're probably going to exempt from that benefit.
So, Kurt, I'm hearing periodic staff treatment days, a 24-hour appointment scheduling notice. I'm hearing that there's all sorts of kind of rules around receiving this treatment. Where do those rules show up?
Well, we've got to get them in the employee handbook. We want them to apply to everybody. If we're applying it on a spot basis, like this person's kid gets the treatment, but that person's doesn't, or you know, this person gets $2,000 worth of work and that person gets five, we run into some serious potential for discrimination claims.
Right. So consistency is very important, even when we're looking at providing free treatment to,
yeah,
to our employees. So another thing that I see is that you have to work here for a certain amount of time before you can receive or begin to receive a benefit. I see benefit caps. I see all kinds of scenarios.
And sometimes that will scale. So, you know, you can have preventative almost immediately, or if there's, you know, if you're in a chiro office, you might get a free adjustment. But if there's some sort of longer treatment or more expensive treatment, that might come in only at 6 months or a year or 2 years. So you basically reward loyalty by increased benefits, just like you would with, for instance, vacation.
Kirk, can I share something with you that happened early on? This is right at the back in 2007, about a year after I had established the company, and I was evaluating a handbook, and inside of it, and this was from a chiropractor's office, the chiropractor, with all good intention, wanting his team to understand chiropractic care and knowing that not everybody was exposed to it, required employees, new employees, to go through adjustments within their first 4 weeks of working there. That's probably not a good idea.
No, you don't want to require anyone to undergo a medical procedure.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that in almost every state you can opt out of, for instance, a Hep B vaccination,
mm-hmm,
you don't want to require your employees to do anything medical because that requires informed consent.
And, you know, he thought he was doing the right thing, but by actually putting that in an employee handbook policy, it was really evidence to be used against him if something had gone wrong. So obviously we advised him to get it out of there. And he used other methods to encourage people and entice them to, you know, experience the benefits of the treatment.
Yeah, one of the big things with handbooks is just because you're doing something nice doesn't mean you're not also doing something wrong.
Okay, good, good. Okay, so we have the parameters. We have everything put together. What's our next concern?
Well, how much is it going to cost you? And
okay,
I think that has to do a lot with the pool of available candidates, right? So if you say only employees, for instance, that's pretty easy. How many employees do you have? Roughly how much treatment are they likely to incur? But most offices are going to want to expand that to their families. So you want to also think about how many families you have or how many family members you have. And as the office starts to grow, that number is going to grow with it. And if it includes family members, it's going to grow even faster than you think.
So know who you're offering this benefit to so you don't look up one day and go, wow.
Yeah.
I want to throw a little bit of a curveball at you. What about my associate? Do I expect my associate to provide this treatment for free?
Well, a lot of that's going to depend on what your agreement is with them. And you want to make sure that you have pretty specific rules with what the associate has to do and what they don't have to do.
Right.
But generally speaking, you're going to have them participate in that. That's going to be part of them being your employee.
But you're going to lay it out for them. So they know,
yeah,
when they come into the office, it's not a surprise to them that they will be spending certain, you know, productive hours working on patients.
Yeah, one of the things that we really push here is clarity. You can get an employee to be happy in almost any situation so long as they agreed to it ahead of time.
And you don't surprise them.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about insurance?
Well, insurance is a good thing, but it's also a tricky thing. One of the most common situations that we've seen is that an employer with the best of intentions will come in and say, hey, you know, since you have insurance, maybe through a spouse, you know, maybe independently, we're going to apply the insurance first, and then whatever's left, either a copayment or a deductible, that's going to get the dental benefit will take care of that. So it's no cost to the employee. Employee's excited, doctor's excited, he gets paid. Only person that's not excited is the dental insurance company.
Right.
Now, they may never find out about it, but if they do, it could be considered insurance fraud. And you want to make sure you really look at what the claim submission rules are.
Uh-huh.
In most cases, they're going to require the doctor to apply any benefits, pay cost reductions, discounts, whatever, before the insurance comes in.
Prior to the insurance. And it's exactly. in the agreement. I mean, insurance companies' job is to not pay insurance. That's how insurance companies, no matter what kind of insurance it is, and doctor, you're all very familiar with this, that's how they make money, is to not pay or to deny a claim. So clearly they're going to put it in there. If you offer any discounts or anything, you have to give us the benefit of that. Before you can bill it on your insurance.
Exactly. And this goes double if you're using what essentially is the federal insurance through Medicare or something related to that. You can fall afoul when you use a Medicare claim, because not only does it require you to submit these claims to an insurer, but it's a federal insurer. So they can file a False Claims Act claim against you, which basically means that the federal government is not only seeing something that could be criminal, but they're going to pursue you civilly as well.
And they can go back and wipe out a bunch of insurance claims. They can really take a not the best use of the word, but a holistic look at this and come back and come after you on several different levels. And make no mistake, an insurance company can do that as well. So if they can find multiple examples of this, and this is where we have a lot of practices that are big, large. When we're talking about employees, we weren't talking about 5, 10, 15, or 20 like we are, Kurt. We're talking about a practice that has 120-plus employees in 14 locations, and the potential for this having gone on all over the place for months and years is really, really problematic on the insurance fraud side.
And that becomes really the key of having the handbook there, because one person who goes off on a lark and does something wrong, is something that they can show the good faith if you have the rules in place. But if your general rule creates a pattern and practice of violating the law, you are going to be in big trouble.
So we're big fans here of creating a valuable benefit. We're big fans of measuring it, understanding what your obligations are as far as number of employees you have and how far you're extending the benefit. Kurt, we didn't talk about how we limit the benefit to a degree. Capping it, saying a certain amount a year, that's reasonable, correct?
Sure. And, that's going to play into how much it costs in your area, right? So you want to create a benefit that someone can use, mm-hmm. but not abuse. And we usually use a dollar cap, mm-hmm. somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000. But that's really going to depend a lot on your location and how people want to use it. And that cap could include just the employee, or it could include the employee and their family.
And one more time, to avoid insurance fraud.
To avoid insurance fraud, make sure that you apply the benefit first.
Apply the benefit first. Doctor, thank you for joining us today. This has been the Dental Benefit Podcast. We've included creating a valuable benefit and the cautionary tale of how to avoid insurance fraud. Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.
Today's podcast was sponsored by Laudmill & Laudmill, the nation's leading asset protection law firm, providing asset protection to doctors nationwide. Visit them at lodmell.com or call 800-231-7112.